You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 27 August. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, Mia Kruger touching on those epic Sibanye results, and we'll also touch on Woolies. Ian Lawrence from OneLogix on their results. And Anthony Clark, we've seen some boardroom dealings at York Timber. Can it finally unlock some value? The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Woolies is cutting space by 11% to turn around ailing clothing business. Food units powering ahead. Clothing, still a turnaround. Australia, yeah, still Australia. Business Day still holds on to dividend amid potential Heineken buyout. So they've bounced back to pre-pandemic revenue levels, notwithstanding lockdowns and alcohol bans, but they didn't pay a dividend because apparently Heineken's like, if we're going to buy you, no dividend. Of course, they haven't bought them yet, but anyway, that's how that is playing out. Morning markets, overnight US was red, the S&P and the Nasdaq both down 0.6%. Asia red, Sydney off 0.1%, Tokyo down 0.3%. Commodities green overnight, gold 1,801. Of course, Jackson Hole later, gold will be watching that. Rand 1492. Top 40 opening call about 60 points to the red and 0.1%. That as Tencent trades up 0.7% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mia Kruger, Director at Kruger International. Mia, appreciate the early morning. The Sibanye Stillwater results, a stock you and I both like, justified by really strong results and a proper chunky dividend. I mean, that dividend annualized is a 10% yield.
Yes, good morning, Simon. It's definitely a very interesting scenario as we see here a company that came out and is now the dividend leader in the resource sector in South Africa. But we haven't seen that price adjust to, mm-hmm. to the valuation of what we've seen on the earnings side. I mean, this is a company that has net cash on the balance sheet. It has reduced its debt positions extremely well over the last years. And even now, after the results, I looked in the results presentation where they mentioned that they've already reduced it with a further 5 billion since they came to the market. Well, since the results were measured until the end of June. So these numbers were exceptional. You know, they're also buying back shares. We're seeing the valuation the earnings per share that they came out with compared to what analysts are expecting when I look at FactSet already for 6 months being over what the mean expectation is for the year. So that is a staggering number. Also, the cash flow is very strong. I mean, I've spoken about this in the past, but the acquisitions that Sibanye has done up until now really is only about equal to 4 months cash flow for them, all the acquisitions they've done. And I mean, that includes that Lonmin mines that we know about. I think the company is on a really good trajectory. I listened to a conversation with Neil Froneman last night, mm-hmm. And he mentioned, you know, he spoke about all the opportunities and what they are looking at to achieve, and they're really focused on growing areas in the mining industry going forward. All the exciting things that we know and we talk about often outside of mining, which is battery technology, yeah. renewable energy, EVs, all of those. And those are the areas that Sibanye focus on. You know, so many people still think about them as a gold miner. I can't actually even believe that they were that once. So it feels so long ago. And that still seems to be a bit of a drag on their share price. So it would be interesting, as Neil Froneman also said, you know, they will have to come to the market consistently the next couple of quarters or next couple of results and show that they are in the position to deliver these returns consistently. before the market will probably re-rate that share price.
Yeah, and the stock is looking cheap in every level. And I'm with you. We forget that it started life as Sibanye Gold coming out of Goldfields with, frankly, a bunch of B-grade gold assets. And here they are, a platinum powerhouse. Willie's results came out. I mean, the food, as I was saying in my intro, doing great. Fashion, still trying to turn it around. And Australia, I mean, that's just Australia for you. Plugging along, I suppose, is the kindest thing we can say.
Yeah, I mean, this is a completely different case to what we just spoke about with Sibanye, where I wouldn't say it's such a great business case at this stage. But the share price have really done well over the last while. They've caught up with all the other retailers. Mm-hmm. But the thing here is, you know, they missed so many key areas of the market where they could have definitely been the leaders. I specifically think of Woolies Dash. This is their strong part of their business, the food business. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much the only part of the business that grew. It grew even compared to 2019 and is up over 18% since 2019, which I think is a staggering number. It's a really strong number. But on the home food, or the home beauty and fashion side, they've just missed all the balls. You know, I'm thinking of myself as a Woolies buyer, mm-hmm. and I've actually been very disappointed over the last couple of years. It would be my one-stop shop where I'd buy everything I wear, from office wear to pajamas, and I've actually been very disappointed in the quality, in, as they also say, the miss of the trends. They've been far too edgy in the trends that they've tried to achieve in South Africa, and they've really just missed the market. They've disappointed their loyal customers, and that's very clear to see when you look at those numbers. The numbers are down across the board there. They've also tried to take away that whole playing field in the beauty side that Edgar's used to be, where they offer all the different brands, etc. It's a tough area to do well, and people, you know, people are very cognizant of the money they spend these days. And I think that these sort of very high high margin niche areas where they try to achieve a lot of growth hasn't worked for them. So unfortunately, this is a very good business case story to look at in an emerging market like South Africa, of what works and what does not. And sort of being the middle of the fancy road hasn't really worked for Woolworths.
Yeah.
You either need to be really niche or you need to be really run of the mill. And they've been neither on the clothing, beauty and home side.
Yeah.
They're still trying to increase that business, it seems. You know, they're going to reduce the floor space, but they're going to try and focus on basically only the Woolworths brand. It sounds like they're ditching most of the other Woolies brands in the W collection, etc. We're not quite sure about the denim, RE denim range, but I think that would be a good move for them, just to consolidate what they do, focus on what they can offer the market, and hopefully bring to us a better quality product going forward.
Yeah, and get their clothing working like their food. Then they'll be rocking. Mia Kruger, Director, Kruger International, appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At StanLib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com. or speak to your financial advisor. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Tony and I with Ian Lawrence, CEO of One Logics. Results for the year end May, revenue off 6%, headline earnings off 35%, tangible net asset value up 3% at R3.43. That is, the stock trades a little over a rand below that tangible NAV. Ian, appreciate your early morning. It was post your year end, but the violence we saw in KZN in July didn't directly hit One Logics, but I imagine for you, your team, your colleagues, a very tough period, and still knock on impacts. I mean, N3 was closed. The uncertainty must have cost the company nonetheless.
Oh, yes. And in fact, we were, in a sense, directly affected. We had four of our trucks torched.
Oh, no. Okay.
It was outright, downright arson. We're putting in a claim against Sastria for some 14, 15 odd million rand. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of other knock-on effects. We had to intervene to protect our investments. The N3 was closed. So it wasn't a happy time. And of course, the year that we're talking about was also, there were knock-on effects for us, from COVID. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, it had a dramatic effect on the supply of trucks and motor cars. There was an international semiconductor shortage.
Yeah.
That whole supply chain was disrupted by that, and it affected our trucking business particularly, which went from a very healthy profit in the prior period to a loss. So it was pretty dramatic for us, and it also had an effect on the motor car deliveries and the whole stock holding change that the OEMs have had. So yeah, we've had an eventful past period.
The automotive sector, which obviously, I mean, that was the original One Logics. You're much broader than that now, much more a sort of general logistics, you know, with bits all over the place. Automotive, we're seeing certainly a lot of activity in that space. The manufacturers locally increasing production, looking for more exports going forward. Is that something that, as that unfolds over the next 2 to 3 years, will benefit One Logics, all things being equal?
Yes, because we'll be part of the supply chain. Mm-hmm. We hope to be even more so than we are right now, but clearly those vehicles have to get moved, they have to get loaded onto ships and off they go, and we have a critical role to play there, yeah.
Looking at the business, I mean, if I delve in, I look at the cash flow, strong cash position, I look at your balance sheet, my sense from the business is incredibly well positioned, and you know, you're managing what you can manage. What you can't manage is the local economy, the GDP. I was always, you know, when I was learning about stocks, it was logistic companies, when GDP is doing great, you really want to be on board because you get the leverage. Is that a fair assessment? You're ready, you just need the economy to come to the party.
Yeah, that's true. Look, we have been doing a lot of work in cross border as well, so mm-hmm. that also affects us. But correct, we're pretty lean and mean. I mean, this whole process also has led to us looking at our costs and making sure that we're much more productive than we've ever been. So we're pretty lean and mean. And you know, when there's a turnaround, and I think any optimistic South African, which I class myself as one of. When it happens, we'll be very well placed for growth.
Yeah, but when we start to see that sort of tickle through, and there's stuff out there which might help. There's also other issues such as unemployment. You mentioned the cross border. I mean, we've been going through various levels of lockdown and the like. I'm imagining that broadly you're now able to operate through these lockdowns. As a company, you've sort of got the processes in place, and you were allowed as a logistics player to still operate.
Yes, and I think everybody has. I mean, it's the border posts, it's the countries mm-hmm. into which we go and so on. We've kind of, everybody's got into an equilibrium that seems to work. It's still not without problems, of course.
Sure.
And part of our DNA is that we have to deal with those problems, which we do, I think, reasonably well. But, yeah, it's getting to I don't know what one would call it, but it's a kind of a new equilibrium. Which is seems to be working reasonably well.
Yeah, and I take your point. Ultimately, One Logics is a logistics business, so managing those logistics is part of that process. Ian Lawrence, CEO at One Logics, appreciate the time this morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
The Property Pod. Pod.
Introducing The Property Pod, a new podcast from MoneyWeb, hosted by Seren Naidu. This series offers in-depth insights into the South African property industry. In each episode, Seren interviews industry leaders and executives about developments, performance, trends, and new policies in the sector. Download episodes of The Property Pod on moneyweb.co.za under podcasts or via the app, which is available on the App Store and Google Play. For more podcast updates, follow at Suren Naidu and at MoneyWeb on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook.
The Property Pod. 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 Pod.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
We're going to be chatting with Anthony Clark in a moment around York Timbers, a stock that I keep on having a look at it, and every time I look at it, it's trading well below net asset value, tangible net asset value, but it has been a continual value trap. It's sort of never done anything, performed. And of course, that value in of itself is the trees. They're physically in the ground. I mean, this is tangible net asset value. We can debate perhaps what that value, you know, the value of a tree, but still, they're trading sort of less than half of that net asset value. What's happened more recently is A2 Investments, André van der Veen and Adrian Zettler have taken a fairly significant stake that after the recent unfortunate passing of the CEO, and they've now got a board seat. There was a bit of a struggle there in terms of getting the board and up and running, and now the question really comes of can they unlock that value. Chatting now with Anthony Clark, small cap analyst. Anthony, appreciate the early morning time. York Timbers really has been a bit of a total absolute underperformer. We've now got the A2 Investment Partners who've come in. There was a bit of a argy-bargy in the boardroom. That seems to have settled. Andre and Adrian are now sort of got their board seat. Can they do it? Can they get some value unlock here?
Yeah, good morning, Simon, from a very wet and chilly Cape Town. Yeah, York has been one of the hottest stories literally in the last month or so.
Yeah.
I think the listeners would be amazed as to how quickly the story actually unfolded. Basically, it all started in the middle of July, and here we are now in the middle of August, and about 600 million rand has been added in value in the York share price. And we've got, as you said, Adrian Zettler and André van der Veen being quickly appointed to the board after, as you say, a little bit of argy-bargy. it's now all sweetness and lights, and they've kissed and made up, and they're looking to take the company forward. I think you and I both know that York for many years has been significantly underperforming.
Yeah.
The share price was down about 45% before A2 got involved. The management was seen as quite aloof. And the real potential of what are really good assets in the Sabi region in terms of sawmills, forestry assets, agricultural interests, and other allied assets just were never really, you know, crystallized by management into the potential they could be. And I think I was always amazed why nobody had taken a tilt at York before, given the inherent value of what that asset actually had. In chatting to a few industry experts the last few weeks, you know, the plywood factory, for example, is potentially worth R1 billion.
Whoa.
That's the only plywood factory in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
The forestry assets, you and I both know that forestry is a long-term annuity play, which could be very interesting to, let's say, a pension fund or an insurance fund as a long-term strategic annuity play. That's potentially worth between 2 to 3 billion rand. You then have other assets inside the business, which again, you know, just need to be tinkered, invested, and grown. So you have in York, I believe, a company that could be worth multi-billions of rands with the right investment and the right infrastructure management in place, which at one point was trading at R500 million.
Yeah, and it's trading now at just over one, but the numbers you're quoting still give a potential huge more upside. Certainly, A2 Partners know what they're doing. They've got this expertise. They've done it before. They're not newbies at this. It might take a little bit of time, but you know, if you look at A2 Partners and think that they're the skilled guys here, this could be opportunity for some small cap investors.
Absolutely. I think they've proven their mettle so far with their first of two investments, the first being Novus, which they bought in March.
Mm-hmm.
They paid about R1 for that stock, and it's now trading roughly at R3. And then, of course, York Timbers, they bought in at around 175 to 185, and we're trading, you know, roughly yesterday at about R3.80, R3.90. But let's not forget, in both cases, both companies were trading on significant discounts to net asset value. And that's where the upside is. In York's case, as an example, you know, when A2 became involved, it was trading at an 81% discount to its net asset value. And that's on a conservative basis. On a replacement value, you know, you're talking quantums of that. And it takes 20 years to grow a tree, and you can't exactly put up a state-of-the-art plywood factory overnight. So I think that there's inherent potential you know, in York still for private clients. But I have to caveat, the easy money has been made. Yeah. Now it's more of an operational issue where you have to go in, kick the tires, see where investment needs to be made, you know, see where, you know, changes need to be tinkered to optimize the business. And that does take a little bit of time. But I think that A2, given their short track record, have shown they had the mettle behind them to actually go in and assist management in transforming and growing a company.
Yeah, and look, one thing that York Timber investors understand is patience. Maybe be a bit more patient, but maybe some serious value there. Those numbers Anthony's mentioning are massive multiples of even the current share price. Anthony Clark, small cap analyst, Small Talk Daily on the Twitters. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for the show for today, for the week. Our poll we are asking you on LinkedIn and Twitter, chatting there with Anthony about York Timbers, is it finally perhaps going to unlock some value? For my entire investment career, it hasn't happened. Maybe it's now time. You can have your vote. You can have your say on LinkedIn, at Twitter, at MoneyWeb on both. Yesterday, we were asking you about gold. Solid DRD results. Stock went nowhere. Question was, gold, is it over? A quarter of you said yes. Two-thirds of you said nope. Time to be patient, and about a fifth of you, in fact about a tenth of you, said nope, you actually prefer the Kruger Rands. As always, our polls on LinkedIn and Twitter, have your vote, have your say. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Kodora, Nicole, and Masekhla, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.